Good morning. I'd like to call the 1,376th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. I ask for a motion to approve the agenda. Is there a motion? And moved by Mr. Dyke, is there a second? Second by Mr. Bolger. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. The next item, I'll call on Mr. Daly for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the just concluded executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under Board Bylaws Article 10 and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Is there a second? Second by Mr. Acosta. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you very much. The second is approval of the minutes of the June 28th board meeting.
Moved.
Moved by Mr. Downs. Second by Mr. Nichols. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? We now have public comment. We have one person signed up, Mr. Sandrin. Welcome, Mr. Sandrin.
I'd like to officially indicate, Madam Chair, it'd be nice if we opened the meeting with a moment of silence. And in light of the, was it Red Line, Chief, the crash there in the park, I think that would be, you know, a nice gesture and remembrance. The only way to honor does respect the living. Here you are. I passed up a couple items for your perusal at your convenience. I notice Ms. Bowser's not here. I live in Ward 4, actually. And any reason why she's not present?
She's attending Mr. Raspberry's funeral.
Oh, but dead, bury the dead, I would say. But the only way to honor dead is respect the living. Be nice if her staffer was here or someone to help.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Mr. Sandrin is giving comments.
Thank you. Chief, I wrote you a cover letter today, and I outlined and incorporated the letter of July 6th. We've had a number of conversations. In your own words, I'm entitled to, albeit an untimely response. Madam Chair, I wrote to you last year, and I understand your term was extended another 4 years to keep the reforms, whatever that means, in, you know, in place. But it'd be nice to have those forms, whatever they may be, intact. I passed up to a chief that was to be disseminated to the respective board members a number of articles. Ramada seems to be at the forefront of the news. You threw your infrastructure, increased fares, broken escalators, sweltering heat, hot cars, and on and on and on. And I would challenge any of you that do drive, use the train. Use the train and see what's going on so you'll know firsthand. And remember, we, the public, the people are the lifeblood, you know, of Ramada. Please don't forget that. At one time, you can only speak 2 minutes every 3 months. Now, thank God, it's 2 minutes every board meeting. I think minimally that should go to 3 minutes, possibly five. How much can you cover, Madam Chair, you know, in 2 minutes? It's not very much time. Again, and the public is the lifeblood of the Transit Authority. So I thank you for your opportunity, Chief. I hope to get a timely response from all concerned. I hope those articles are distributed, disseminated by and between each board member. You peruse it, you know, carefully, because truth be told, Ramada is a monopoly. Madam Chair, if you don't like Safeway, you can go to Giant, you can go to Whole Foods, you can go to Shoppers. We can't do that with the Metroway. We can't do that with the bus. We can't do that with Metro Access. So let's make, you know, it where it's user-friendly. We're getting a good bang for our buck, as it were. I think that's a reasonable, fair request, don't you?
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Sandrin. I thank you for all of your suggestions, and I think we look seriously at them. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Have a good and godly day.
Thank you. There are no other members signed up for public comment. The next agenda item is the report of the Writers Advisory Council. The Writers Advisory has provided a written report, and it is contained in our materials, and I would refer that to the board for their exploration. The next item is the report of the Accessibility Advisory Committee, and Mr. Shan is present here for the report.
All right, thanks, Richard. Oh, here we are. Thanks. First, I want to congratulate the board for a lot of the ADA work that they've done over the years, at least that I've been chair. This is the 22nd anniversary of the ADA, and I think that WMATA has made terrific strides on accessibility issues, making the transit property accessible between the work that's been done in the stations concerning truncated domes, buses, rail, paratransit. So I think a congratulations is in order. I certainly also want to thank Office of ADA Programs and Christian Kent and his office for the work that they've done to help enhance accessibility, and particularly under ADA. So we've had some interesting times. We've had some challenging times, particularly I think we've moved issues like paratransit forward. I think that what we see now as far as the metro access system is far and away much better than what we started off with back, I think it was in 1995. We've made great strides, and I look forward to working with the board, with those two offices, to keep the traction going and keep the progress going. My committee that I have the honor of chairing, I think, has done a tremendous job. I appreciate the fact that they come and report to you with suggestions. They certainly keep me busy. I'm pretty sure they keep Christian very busy. I think the quality of the suggestions that they come up with are excellent. One of the projects, as you know, that we've been working on has been the fare calculator. Over the last month, we've looked at the fare calculator. I am here to report that the fare calculator is a good working model. We have looked at it as far as beta testing is concerned. We still want to look at the accessibility issues. We think there could be some 508 accessibility issues. Actually, in my full-time real life, I work as a 508 coordinator for the Department of Veterans Affairs, so I'm sharing some technology, perhaps with Christian and his office and Office of ADA Programs, so that we can take a look at the accessibility of the fare calculator to make sure that everyone can use it online. What I'd like, and I have a couple other things to say after this, but I guess my ask of the board is that what the AAC really wants to see happen with the fare calculator is that the fare calculator get into the hands of the reservationists so that they can be quoting to individuals with metro access what perhaps what the cheapest fare is going to be. We understand, AAC understands that in order to do that, we have to look at a multitude of things, training, there are some contract issues, there are some accessibility issues as far as the reservationist having it, but it would allow the metro access patrons to use the tool which has been developed for their use, because most people aren't using, a lot of people who are disabled don't use the computer to access, or may not be able to access the fare calculator on the computer, but they're certainly going to call in to make a reservation. So I think as phase one has been complete with the tool, we've seen it, we've looked at it, we've got suggestions which are being worked on. Phase two, which is the ask, is to direct Christian and his staff to see if we can get the fare calculator to the reservationists so that they can incorporate that into their protocol. As I said earlier, I have access perhaps to some technology. We have access to some expertise, I think, on the AAC committee, which we would very much like to be able to share to help make that happen. I think that if and when we can do that, and we certainly would like to have a timetable for doing that, that would be good. It would be something that I think would be a huge plus for the Washington, D.C. area, to be able to showcase a tool like this that not only is online and accessible, but available to reservationists. So that's kind of my ask for this morning. The other things that I wanted to talk about, the AEC had brought up to the rail, through our rail bus rail subcommittee, that there was some construction at Dunloring and Vienna that could perhaps prove hazardous. What we were looking for was the installation of a chain link fence and increased lighting so that patrons, particularly disabled patrons, wouldn't inadvertently be injured. I wanted to congratulate WMATA on the fact that that fence was put up in record time, that the lighting was increased, and also that crosswalks are in place so that individuals are going to be safe, and particularly in my case, in case of people with disabilities, that they would be safe in that facility, done in a very nice, timely job. Last thing that I wanted to talk about was the surcharge on smart cards. We understand that there's going to be auto load feature is due to be implemented in September, which I think is good. Phil Posner's not here, but he always seems to be researching stuff and passing that on to me. Phil was able to find out that within the CVS pharmacies, that they have implemented some ad fare capability within the CVS pharmacies, which we were not aware of. So that's something that I think should be advertised as a way that individuals who need to add money onto their smart cards can do it. I also understand that Giant Food is looking within 8 stores to implement ad fare capability, and if they if that proves successful, that they're going to implement it within 42 other stores in the region over the summer. Well, those were two things that I hadn't heard of. I know that when we had a meeting with the GM and staff, that that was something that we looked for to see if we could increase where we could implement those ad fare, putting money on the smart cards. So I think that that's going to be important, something that we should pursue. If that turns out to be the case, I think that we need to do some more advertising. Let's see. Also, concerning the paratransit, there's been a new vehicle that has been evaluated. I understand that it got rave reviews from individuals that have looked at it and have ridden in it, and I would I think that that's a real plus for going forward. Everything that I've heard about the vehicle is very, very good. And lastly, with respect to the metro access, I know in the past we put through a recommendation that if we can't get the fare calculator out in a timely fashion, we would like to see the fares reduced for metro access patrons to twice the bus fare. We would very much like to see the fare calculator implemented in a timely fashion, and if we can get a timetable from Christian's office, that would be very helpful so we could sort of track the progress and then report back to you with respect to what's been completed in phase one, which we're happy with, but we don't have any timetables for phase two, and that's kind of what we're looking for. That completes my report for this month. Are there any questions?
Are there questions from the board? Hearing none. Thank you very much,
Mr.
Sheehan.
Thank you. Thanks for your support. We do appreciate it.
You have given us several items in your report that I think we will get back to you via staff, and we appreciate the diligence that you're keeping us on track. I must say it's interesting to hear that the CVS and others are already doing some of the work that we want, and that will expand
right.
The work of staff.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. The next item is report the chair, and the first item here is the motion to approve the resolution for the appointment of Patricia King Adams to the Writers Advisory Council. Is there a motion?
So moved.
And moved by Mr. Downs, a second by Mr. Downey. A discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor? And those opposed. Let me just make a few comments. After my comments, the general manager's report will go into some of the events that have occurred over the last month. But I want to ensure that as he goes over those items, the board members are very much aware and concerned as well as to how and how we address the incidents that occur in the system. I think I'd call your attention to the Writers Advisory Council's report, in which they have met with the leadership of the advisory as well as the board to talk about emergency response and the like. And we look forward to working with the RAC on that as well with the authority. And that will be coming forward, we hope, in the fall time frame. But most importantly, I think the seriousness I think the board takes of this issue, and some of us experience the incidents ourselves in a direct manner, so that we do understand what the issues are, and working with the authority, we think that we can move forward in addressing them. I would like to acknowledge the fact that over the past week, and the transit, APTA's transit board and members and support conference was held, and I'd like to extend congratulations to Marcel Acosta, who was elected as the regional representative for our region too, of the Maryland, D.C., Washington, Virginia, and someone else, Pennsylvania maybe. But we appreciate Mr. Acosta stepping up with the APTA board members that serve as a great place where we are able to gain knowledge, share experiences, and I appreciate the other board members who were participants in that. With that, I go to the report of the general manager and CAOs.
Thank you, Chair Hudgens, and good morning to everyone. Let me start by acknowledging that July has been a tough month for this region as a result of extreme weather conditions, including lengthy hot spells and unusually strong storms that resulted in massive power outages. Our system and our customers were not immune from the impact of these conditions. While we operated through the derecho storm with many bus detours, damage to commercial power resulted days later in an outage that impacted trains on one end of the Green Line. The excessive and prolonged heat, often exceeding the century mark, resulted in not only the derailment of a train, but the imposition of speed restrictions that delayed many more. But these speed restrictions are prudent as we put safety ahead of convenience. The extreme temperatures have also presented a challenge to the cooling systems on some of our rail cars. This month, as July, about 2.5% of the cars dispatched in the service experienced a temperature control issue after they entered service. We have been aggressively pursuing preventive maintenance, including component changeouts, particularly on the 5,000 series fleet. It's too early in the summer season to draw conclusions about performance. However, we know we must remain focused on improving reliability in this area. Anytime anyone's on a hot car, they don't care about the numbers. Finally, a module failed on a network device that supports the control center dynamic maps and impacted a Saturday rail service for about an hour as we held trains until the system was restarted. A second outage of much less duration occurred in the early Sunday morning hours, which did not halt service as staff were positioned at local control points to operate switches until the cause of the computer glitch was determined. I want to thank our customers for their forbearance. I recognize that a delay of any duration is greatly exacerbated when it's hot. And too often this month, many of our rides were delayed or otherwise inconvenienced. We are determined to improve on that. I also want to thank our employees who worked tirelessly throughout this month to address each of these issues and restore service as quickly as possible. In addition to our frontline personnel, many, many staff have put in long hours and given their weekends to manage challenges to the service, and I appreciate their dedication to our customers. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the Chair and Mr. Nichols, Ms. Porter, and Mr. Bulger for participating in a news conference with federal officials last week at our Carmen Turner facility. We welcome the passage of the Surface Transportation Reauthorization Bill, MAP 21, which for the first time establishes federal transit safety oversight. We look forward to working with the FTA to strengthen safety regulations for transit properties, The legislation includes the development of a system safety plan, minimum performance standards for vehicles, and the establishment of a training program for federal and state employees who conduct safety audits. We have made a great deal of progress here at Metro addressing our safety priorities, which are closely aligned with the priorities in the safety legislation. We will serve us well as a new law is implemented. We also learned this week that the FTA has awarded Metro $1.5 million of funding to improve the accessibility of regional bus stops. These improvements will benefit all customers, but will particularly enable customers with disabilities to utilize fixed route bus service for some of their travel needs. Improvements valued at approximately $21,000 per stop will be made to sidewalks, ramps, concrete pads, shelters, benches, trash receptacles, landscaping, lighting, bus space, static signage, and real-time signage. To prioritize locations where improvements will provide the most benefit, the first $300,000 of the project budget will be used to evaluate bus stops that have previously been identified as deficient through a modest priority corridor network program and service evaluation studies on high ridership lines. Local transit improvements matter in our communities, which reminds me that this week we received a resolution from the 2A Advisory Neighborhood Commission congratulating us on the Foggy Bottom Escalator Replacement Project, expressing their appreciation for the improvement. And oh yes, by the way, they asked for another entrance. Important to WMATA's future is the work that you have planned this afternoon on advancing strategic planning as part of the governance committee meeting. Getting the next level of input on policy direction will be important in charting our future and informing the work management is doing on a business plan and multi-year budgeting. And in closing, before we take our August break, I want to bid farewell and express appreciation to one of our key executive team members who will be leaving us before you return in September. Chief Human Resources Officer Gary Baldwin is going to try once again to return to his home state of Washington. For newcomers to Metro, this is Gary's second tour of duty with Metro. When he previously left us, he was serving as the Acting Director of Labor Relations. While he and I kid one another about how many times we have respectively retired, he has convinced me that this time he really wants to go back to his garden and family in Washington. And while we'll miss Gary, his contributions will remain with us for years to come in the form of a blueprint from which we are building a modern human resources department. Additionally, through his leadership in initiating the most aggressive hiring program since the inception of Metro, Gary is laying the foundation for a new Metro. It is a tribute to his vision and drive, along with the hard work of the HR team, that we've been able to fill 810 positions over the last 6 months of this year. Congratulations to you, Gary, and the whole team. And I ask you now to join me in thanking Gary Baldwin for his service and outstanding contributions to Metro. Concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Thank you very much, Gary, for your contribution to Metro, and we wish you well in your, we assume, final retirement. Thank you. The next item is the report of the Customer Service and Operations Committee. Mr. Downs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You have before you a recommended resolution to amend and clarify the station naming policy guidelines for station name consideration going forward. You have a blue-lined sheet that lists several staff-recommended amendments to the resolution as it was initially drafted by the committee. I would direct your attention to the change in higher education / universities, which proposes revised policy to grandfather, instead of all existing higher education universities, to grandfather higher education universities that are currently part of existing station names, to clarify that particular provision, and the same with institutions, landmarks to grandfather all, institution landmarks that are currently part of existing station names. Above that, there is a revision to the bullet that starts revised policy to limit future school additions to station names to accredited colleges or universities that offer associate, undergraduate, graduate degrees, to clarify the inclusion of major community colleges. With those amendments, I would move the adoption of the resolution.
Motion by Mr. Downs.
Second
by Mr. Bolger. Mr. Dykes.
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to propose an amendment to the language that was put forth by the committee. And it refers under the, I guess, A, approval of station naming policy. Mm-hmm. If we look down to the second bullet that begins with the language limit future school additions, going down to the third line, I would like to move that we strike the language whose primary slash main campus boundary, and that we also move down to line five and strike that last phrase, satellite campuses or school buildings that are affiliated but not located on main campuses may not be included in station names. And what I would suggest in my amendment is that in place of the first language that was struck, whose primary main campus boundary, we would insert the words, and who has significant classroom space at an identifiable location. And I think this is consistent with the earlier amendment which the committee made with respect to adding associate degrees to that list of degrees.
Okay. Is there a second for Mr. Dykes' motion? Do I hear a second?
I second that.
Thank you. Mr. Downs, second. Discussion on the motion. I think, Mr. Dyke, you've gone to the point.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. And that same language appears in the resolved paragraph. And so I would suggest that the same language amendments be made there as well.
Okay. Okay. Any clarifications or questions in discussion?
No, Madam Chair, I think it's from Robert's Rules of Order, it's important to have the maker of the motion accept that as a friendly motion.
Thank you. That helps that.
Yeah.
Ms. Hines for discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this actually provides even greater clarification. I missed the committee meeting. My daughter got married, so I was doing other things. But I appreciate very much the adding of the consideration around community colleges, because both throughout our region, these campuses, of which there's one main and many satellites, often are locations where thousands and thousands of people go on a daily basis. And I do believe as we continue through this process that identifying them in a secondary name of a station should be an option that's available to the board should they decide that they want to do it. And again, I would remind us all, every station name does have to be approved by the board, recommended from the jurisdiction. And so I think it gives us the flexibility around what are significant institutions that are scattered in our jurisdictions, to have that conversation and make that choice rather than to prohibit it in the way that this was structured.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bolger.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Jim, could you just clarify whether we're talking here about public institutions versus private for-profit universities and colleges under the satellite language?
There's no distinction being made, so we just take each one on a case-by-case basis.
Well, we got back into the resolution. We talk about commercial naming rights under the... before the resolve, How does that not selling commercial naming rights apply to the amendment that you just offered if that includes private universities?
Well, the item is addressed under higher education. Yeah. And I guess if you remove higher education, you might be able to go to the point that you're making. But I think because we called out, and it's if you go back to also the history, we're talking about historically how do we identify higher ed locations, and I think that's the focus of this amendment. It does not go back to the commercial discussion that we had in the budget as an inclusion here.
I'm still confused. If we're going to allow a private for-profit university or college in the amendment, but then further in the body, we're not going to allow commercial naming rights, I'm confused as to how we're going to, the board can handle that matter going forward.
I will
recognize Mr. Dyke and then Ms.
We're talking about higher ed institutions, and that's a separate, distinguishable category. We're also saying they have to have 5,000 students at least, and they also have to have significant classroom presence. So that criteria relates specifically to higher education institutions. And so I don't see there's any inconsistency between that and what we're saying about general commercial institutions.
It's not. Mr. Dyke covered it.
Yeah, I think what we're doing with the amendments is not changing the discussion and the motion that came from the committee, but simply including or explaining the higher ed portion that we have here.
Madam Chair, if I could ask it, Mr. Bolger, Mr. Bolger, the change that Mr. Dyke has proposed, in my mind, doesn't. Address, it doesn't change anything about the type of institution from what the committee recommended. At least that's my understanding. So that I wasn't present for the committee discussion, others were, but this is only trying to open the door for satellite campuses of 5,000 students and above. That meet the higher ed university criteria. It's not trying to do anything more than that. So, but I
don't want to belabor this. I think one of the reasons we're having this discussion is the grand desire of higher ed institutions wanting to take advantage of the opportunity of access to the transit systems. And be acknowledged there. And I think that's the real basis of wanting to try and provide some opportunity for that to happen under the constraints that we've had in the motion.
And it's also a recognition of the fact that the first amendment that was made by the committee, the recognition of the community colleges and the significant number of students that use that very important facility, that we're recognizing that in coming to our decision. So.
Okay. Any further discussion? Let's vote on the amendment has been accepted as a friendly amendment, so all those in favor of the main motion?
Aye.
Amended. And opposed? Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Downs. You have another portion of the item that is not included.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the last Customer Service and Operations Committee, the committee made a recommendation to the board to consider a set of rail service criteria. It became obvious from customer, user, commentator, critics, that we had failed at communicating adequately with our customers and stakeholders what these rail service criteria were for, what they were supposed to do, why we were pursuing this line. We also had feedback about the lack of clarity about the moving numbers. We had concerns that we had not taken this issue to the RAC. And initially reviewing the item with the staff, I knew that this had been before the JCC. I assumed that it had been before the RAC. That was an error on my part to make an assumption about that. I had asked the chair to strike this item from the agenda of the board meeting, redirect the issue of rail service criteria to the September Customer Service and Operations Committee. In the meantime, asking the staff to make sure that there was a comprehensive review of this issue with the RAC and at least some preliminary conversations with some of our writers to get an idea about what they think a meaningful set of rail service criteria are. I still believe this is an important management tool about holding all of us accountable for rail service delivery over time. It is an important key performance indicator, and we have to rebuild the understanding of the use of this criteria with our ridership, with our public, so that we can actually have something that means something to them. And I'm asking that the board agree to the recommittal of this issue to the Customer Service and Operations Committee in September.
Okay. Mr. Downs is asking, I think, a motion that I probably can ask. Is it without objection at this point? Is there any objection to that? Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Downs, and I think we will see the item again with a lot more and different discussion. All right, thank you. The next item on the agenda is report from the jurisdictions. District of Columbia.
On behalf of Councilmember Bowser and myself, we want to acknowledge that we have responded to the concerns about bus service on 16th Street, have received assurances from the staff about the review of crowding on the S-Line corridor. There's been an 11% growth in ridership recently on the 16th Street corridor. There are some legitimate concerns that need to be addressed, and want to reassure those riders that we will be pursuing those with the staff.
Thank you. Mr. Barnes, any comments? I have nothing from the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. Are there any from Virginia? No. And Mr. Downey?
Yeah,
this is good news.
Mentioned by the CEO, but I'd like to reinforce it, that Congress has enacted and the President has signed a two-year transportation bill, which will provide some stability. There's still issues out there with respect to sequestration, but at least we have a sense of what our future should be for the next 2 years, and it also does include some strengthened responsibilities for the Federal Transit Administration with respect to safety. They will be working with us and with others in the industry as to how those will be carried out. I would also note in the legislation it very clearly stated that this establishment of safety policy within any agency is, in fact, something that the board has to take responsibility for.
Thank you. I thank you for that one as well as the grant that you noted as well. I would just call attention in your book, committee assignments as they've been adjusted for your review and accepted. Any other discussions that come to Mr. Bellamy's inclusion into our committee structure? Any other discussion come before the board? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.